तम धर्म सम्मूढ़ चेता यश्रेयसान निश्चितं ब्रूहि तन्मे शिष्यस्ते हम शादिमां तपोतम नम। सो माइजरली वीकनेस, सो व्हाट इज द माइजरली वीकनेस? मटेरियल अफेक्शन और अटैचमेंट इज वीकनेस, कार्पण्य दोष इट इज कॉल्ड। सो दिस कार्पण्य दोष makes us to lose our composure, good qualities, upahata svabhava, and it also produces dharma samodha chita, bewilderment of our duty, knowledge of our prescribed duty. So just as Arjuna is in this condition, Dhritarashtra was also in similar condition. So he was also, because of his own miserly weakness, he could not do what he is supposed to do. So similarly, all of us are also in this same karpanya dosha. So material affection born out of attachment to body and bodily connections. So, and that prapannam word, Arjuna was what kind of disciple? He was surrendered disciple. So disciple should be surrendered. So yesterday I touched that point, that we should not make guru just for fashion. Sometime it is seen. So they are loyal to Guru as long as Guru agrees with their points. So if Guru doesn't agree with their points, then they immediately reject the Guru. So that should not be happen. That is not surrender. So even if Guru doesn't agree with us, we should be still loyal to him. So that is full surrender. Okay, so coming to verse number 8. नहि प्रपश्यामि मम पुनाद्याद्यच्छोकं चोषणं इन्द्रियाणां I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it even if I win a prosperous, undrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like that of the demigods in heaven. So again, this verse also speaks how to surrender to Krishna. No, how to surrender to spiritual master. So, we should not have any other shelter than spiritual master and Krishna in this world. If we think that there is any other shelter, any other solution to the problems, then that is not proper way of approaching the spiritual master. So here basically this verse, Arjuna is saying there is no other shelter than your shelter to Krishna. So sometime to solve our problems we take shelter of so many other things, but that will not help us. So there is one verse in Chandogya Upanishad, Soham Bhagava Shochami Tham Bhavan Shokasya Param Tharayatu. So this verse is spoken by Narad Muni to four Kumaras. Hmm? we all know Narad, four Kumaras, they took their, Narad Muni is also son of Brahma, and four Kumaras are also son of Brahma. So, but four Kumaras were born before Narad Muni, they were first sons of Brahma. So, out of the 25 sons, first sons were four Kumaras. So they are also called as Manasaputras. They were born of his mind. So he is surrendering. Narad Muni is surrendering to four. Soham Bhagava Shochami. Shochami means Tham Mam, me. I am lamenting. May your lordship deliver me from lamentation. Bhavan shokasya param tharayatu. So like Arjuna is also lamenting now and surrendering to Krishna. Similarly, so Narad Muni was surrendering to Krishna. So the basically point is, we should not think that there is some other shelter which can help us in this world. In that attitude, we should surrender to Guru and Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada says, although Arjuna was putting forward so many arguments based on knowledge of the principles of religion and moral codes, it appears that he was unable to solve his real problem without the help of spiritual master Lord Shri Krishna. So now, religion and moral codes, basically, they are Dharma Shastras. So we were seeing, no? In our discussion also, we quoted some verses from different Smriti Shastras, Dharma Shastras. Manu Smriti, Yajnavalkya Smriti, Parashara Smriti, and Mahabharata. So, like that, Arjuna was also quoting those scriptural evidences, but it appears that he was unable to solve his real problem without the help of the spiritual master, Lord Shri Krishna. He could understand that his so-called knowledge was useless in driving away his problems, which were drying up his whole existence. It was impossible for him to solve such perplexities without the help of a spiritual master like Lord Krishna. Academic knowledge, scholarship, high position, etc. are all useless in solving the problems of life. Help can be given only by a spiritual master like Krishna. Therefore, the conclusion is that a spiritual master who is 100% Krishna conscious is a bona fide spiritual master, for he can solve the problems of life. So nothing in this world can help to solve our problems. So here Prabhupada is giving some examples of that. Academic knowledge, scholarship, high position. So none of these things will help us to solve the problems. Now if you see Arjuna 5000 years back when he was speaking this verse. So in every way he was better than us. Right or not? Academic knowledge, in the sense his knowledge and his scholarship, he had a high position, he had definitely good food to eat, good environment to live in. So everything was better in every way in comparison with our situation presently after 5000 years in Telangana area. So in this Kali Yuga bodies. So, but all these things, whatever qualifications he had, Arjuna understood, like Prabhupada mentions in the previous purport, he could understand that. So this is not going to help me, so I have to surrender to Krishna. So in this way, he surrendered to Krishna. So now coming again back to this point that none of this, what are material solutions? What are the solutions of this world? Do we have seven cantos somewhere here? So bad memory. Anyway, So what are the solutions? So basically in this world people, everyone in the they are conscious that if we can get good education, if we can get good education, this is supposed to go to yellow. So if we can get good education and if we can have lots of money, wealth, economic development, so we will be able to solve all the problems of life. We'll lead a very happy life, like that. Everyone thinks like that. So now education is also triggered towards the goal of attaining economic wealth, economic development. So ultimately they are thinking that if we have lots of wealth, economic stability, we will be able to solve all the problems of life. So everyone is thinking in that, from small and ant on the street up to Modi, everyone is thinking like that, or Barack Obama. So everyone is thinking, so everyone is driving towards economic development. So development. So in this way they are chasing after all these things, but these things will never going to solve our problems. So material solutions will never solve our problems. So in 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned, what is the status of this these material solutions. So they are just transferring the problem from one shoulder to another shoulder, so or one place to another place, or in other words, material solutions become cause of so many other problems in this world. So for instance, Prabhupada often gave example in this verse which I am going to read now. There also Prabhupada gives the same example. So human beings, they made automobiles thinking that we will solve the problem of pedaling from one place to another place. Now also you see in these villages, so they walk, and go to that place, you know. So till all are almost they walk and go from all these villages. Most of the times you can observe that people walking. So human beings thought that, oh, why we have to walk, better we manufacture automobiles, so then we'll lead a more comfortable life. So convenience it is called as. So and in this way they made automobiles, and automobiles became the cause of so many problems. Tell any problem with automobile industry, automobile, having cars, automobiles, what is the problem?
Pollution.
Pollution means, you all understand, pollution means that smoke comes. Pollution basically means contaminating the air, you know, damaging the air. That is called pollution. Air pollution. So then any other problem with automobiles?
Becoming lazy.
Okay, good idea. Then?
Actually, very big factory that we set up, so forests have to be cut and fertile land is...
products of carbon monoxide and animals.
And so many industries has to be established for just making one car.
Just to make one car, you have to have 1,000 factories. Mm-hmm. Minimum 1,000 factories. You know this fellow Tata, what is that? Sandro, what they are, I don't know which are the companies. Hyundai. And who else? So what they do is they assemble them and put their seal on that, right or not? But all the parts are manufactured by different companies, different factories. So, and they put their seal, this is my car, like that. We have produced this, manufactured this. But thousands of factories, for that so much exploitation of human, human energy, time,
and exploitation of nature, mining, digging, so many things they do. All spoiling the water, air, land, in every way it is wholesale exploitation. So apart from that, there is traffic problem, there are accidents, right? If you go in bullock carts, then also you may fall down. Suddenly if you are traveling, there is one way here. In between, when you go there, not everywhere smooth way would be there in the villages, right? So if you go in the middle of that road, there is one rock there in between which comes. While driving their bullock cart, you may fall down suddenly, right or not. But then also it will not be so difficult, you will not die, definitely. But accident, we don't know what is going to happen. So these are the problems with automobile. So what is the problem with the mobile? Tell. Who will tell what is the problem with this?
Prajalpa.
Unnecessary talking. Then?
Causes heart disease, cancer and all these things. Radiation.
It creates some microwaves.
So microwaves and radiations with the help of so many, so many tumors, brain tumor, that tumor, this tumor, heart problems. They say that if you keep here, you will get heart attack. If you keep here, you will get some cancer. If you keep here, you will get some cancer. So.
Birds
are also ecological problems.
They lost their way.
Recent survey, if we keep mobile for 8 years, we are sure to get cancer.
8 years, it's too late. You'll get before that only. They will say like that. So anyway, these are the problems. So therefore, they do all like idiot things in the phones. So we'll read something about this. What are these material solutions? The word he says, one, the living entity is exactly like a dog who is overcome with hunger, goes from door to door for some food. So I'll not read that verse. We'll read some other verse. The living entities are trying to counteract the material, different miserable conditions pertaining to providence, other living entities. Just a minute, I think we should have another. So very strong, that verse is. Anyway, so I'll read up. The living entities are being, this is 4th canto, chapter 29, verse 32. Narada Muni is telling to King Prachinabharata. So the living entities are trying to counteract different miserable conditions pertaining to providence. Other living entities are the body and mind. What are these three miseries? Pertaining to providence, other living entities are the body and mind. What are the three kinds of kleshas? Adi Bhautika, Adi Atmika, and Adi Daivika Klesha. So, philosophical classes are not going on. Still, they must remain conditioned by the laws of nature, despite all us attempts to counter these laws. Just as a dog wanders here and there for a piece of bread or punishment, the living entity perpetually wanders about trying to be happy and planning so many ways to counteract material miseries. This is called struggle for existence. We can actually see in our daily lives how we are forced to make plans to drive away miserable conditions. To get rid of one miserable condition, we have to put ourselves in another kind of miserable condition. A poor man suffers for want of money. But if he wants to become rich, he has to struggle in so many ways. Actually, that is not a valid counteracting process, but a snare of the illusory energy. If one does not endeavor to counteract his situation, but is satisfied
with his position, knowing that he has obtained his position through past activities, he can instead engage his energy to develop Krishna consciousness. This is recommended in all Vedic literature. Thaseva heto prahate takho vido na labhyate yad brubatam upariyadaha thal labhyate dukkava danyas suka anyatah sukam kalena sarvatra gabira ramasa. You know which verse it is? First canto. Yeah, 1.5.18. This is also spoken by Narad Muni to Vasudeva. Persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for the purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries even though we do not desire them. Right? Do you want dukkha? Still it comes, right or not? Similarly, happiness will also will come. Don't bother about it like that. That is the point. You want dukkha? No, but still comes, no? So similarly, happiness also will come. Don't worry. That is the message. One should simply try to develop his Krishna consciousness and not waste his time trying to improve his material condition. Actually, the material condition cannot be improved. The process of improvement means accepting another miserable condition. However, if we endeavor to improve our Krishna consciousness, the distresses of material life will disappear without extraneous endeavor. Krishna therefore promises, Kraunteya Pratijani, He Name Bhakta Pranashta, O Son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. One who takes to the path of devotional service will never be vanquished despite all miseries of the body and mind and despite all misery brought about by other living entities and providence, miseries which are bound beyond our control. So now I'll read verse. So yathahi purusho bharam shirasa guru mudvahan tam skandena sa adate tata sarva pratikriyaha. A man may carry a burden on his head, and when he feels it too be heavy, sometimes you know. You all go to collect firewood, you all pull it, but generally in villages what they do is, they tie it in a bunch and put it on the head and carry it. So, then it is easier to carry, but after some time that head pains, you know. Then what he will do, he will try put it on the shoulder. So, when shoulder it starts paining, then he will put it on the other shoulder or he will put it back on the head. So that is told here. In this way he tries to relieve himself of the burden. However, whatever process he devises to counteract the burden does nothing more than put the same burden from one place to another. So Prabhupada writes, purport. This is a good description of an attempt to transfer a burden from one place to another. When one gets tired of keeping a burden on his head, he will place it on his shoulder. This does not mean he has become freed from the strains of carrying the burden. Similarly, human society in the name of civilization is creating one kind of trouble to avoid another kind of trouble. In contemporary civilization, we see that there are many automobiles manufactured to carry swiftly from one place to another, but at the same time we have created other problems. We have to construct so many roads, and yet these roads are insufficient to cope with automobile congestion and traffic jams. There are also the problems of air pollution and fuel shortage. The conclusion is that the process we manufacture to counteract or minimize our distresses due to do not fully actually put an end to our pains. It is simply illusion. We simply place the burden from the head to the shoulder. The only real way we can minimize our problems is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give ourselves up to His protection. The Lord, being all-powerful, can make arrangements to mitigate our painful life in material existence. Now, atheist may say that, oh, so why you are bringing God? But anyway, you cannot solve. You cannot solve. Right or not? So.
So atheists cannot solve the problems of life. They are only expert in creating problems, atheistic scientists. So human society is entangled in the cycle of problems and solution. So therefore we have to... Why we cannot solve the problems of life? What is the problem with us? Why we cannot solve the problems of life?
We have defects.
Then?
We have selfish desires.
What makes... Why if selfish desire is there, why...
Because we try to lord it over the material nature. Like, okay, I am the master.
If we are the master, if you think like that, then how it is connected to solving the problems of life?
Because it is...
Let him answer first.
So it is like they think that, okay, I have got all the intelligence and I am the master, so I am the only one who can solve the problems.
So basically, see, we are not the controllers of laws of nature. Krishna is the controller of laws of nature. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam yetunane na kaunteya jagadvi parivarte. Or... Daivesha gunamai mama maya durateya. It is insurmountable. We cannot solve. We cannot cross over. It is insurmountable. So because Krishna is the master of material energy, he can solve. So like that. How it is connected to this?
Material
world
is created by the complete person, it is complete, but
because
of a misunderstanding
that... Yeah, good. Prabhupada explains it like that. All kinds of incompleteness is experienced due to incomplete understanding of the arrangement of the Lord. So, in this way, we see that we cannot solve these problems of life. Now, there is another meaning for this verse, which we were discussing. Nahi prapashyami mama punadyad. Here it is told that I will not be able to dispel it, even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like that of demigods in heaven. So, it can also be understood in another way. Alternative meaning to this is, I cannot solve, I will not be able to dispel my lamentation, even if I attain unrivaled kingdom on the earth, and even if I attain kingdom of demigods. That means, if I go to Swargaloka also, if I become king of the heaven also, I will not be able to solve. That is another. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he gives example for both and analyzes. So one, if we have a prosperous kingdom on the earthly planets, and if you go to a heavenly planet, both way you will not be able to solve the problem. You see in the purport, no? He has analyzed both. So first he gives example. There are many states in the world which are full of wealth and economically developed, he says. So in other words, in America also there is birth, death, old age and disease. Yeah, just before one more point before going to this season. So we were discussing about solving the problems of life and problems of the world. So what to speak of solving the real problems of life? That are real problems are birth, death, old age and disease. So they cannot solve even the petty problems of life. Right, like fiddling we were using. So now Telangana will start boiling. Now you may think that using fans, using ACs is a solution, but AC fans will increase the temperature. So that is not the solution. Like we have in Bhopal, we have our temple above an Axis Bank. And that Access Bank wallahs, what they do, they put AC and all the heat of the AC comes inside the temple. So, and overall what did they do? The temperature of the environment, overall it increases. So in this way, so they are not making the solution. So anyway, coming back to the point,
that they cannot solve the real problems of life. So real problems of life cannot be solved even by economic development or having a kingdom, unrivaled kingdom on the earth, or becoming a king of heavenly planets. So that verse again comes in Chandogya Upanishad. Tad yateha karma chito lokaha kshiyata evam eva mutra punya jito lokaha kshiyate. This kshiyata word comes here, two times here, no? Yad yateha karma jito lokaha kshiyata evam eva mutra punya jito lokaha kshiyate. The world attained in this life through karma dissipates, and the world attained in the next life through punya also dissipates. So present life is a prarabdha karma, result of our prarabdha karma. So we may have good karma, because of that we may have lots of wealth and everything. That will also be finished. And in the next life we may go to heavenly planets. So swarga. So loka, next. Punya jito lokaha. So that will also be finished. So now Prabhupada gives example for both in this purport here. Now he is saying there are many states in the world which are filled with wealth, which are full, replete with all facilities of life, which are full of wealth and economically developed. Yet problems of material existence are still present. What is the speciality about America? All Indian wants to go to America. All Indian youth and the parents also become happy if they go to America, even though they do not turn back to see them whether they are dying or living. Then also they will be happy, because my son has gone to America, that they can tell it to their envious relatives and friends. That is the only pleasure they get. And all Indian youth is just waiting, jumping to America. So they think that we will get free sex, free enjoyment, liberal society. No one is not bound by any rules and regulations. So no botheration, so much privacy, no family system, nothing. You can just jump around here and there and be happy. So this is the speciality of America. If you think that, you are in illusion. So even in America also there is birth, death, old age and disease. Don't be excited too much. So right or not? So that is the point here which is made. So right? Where it is told America, world doesn't come, no, here? In the purport. See Bhagavad Gita purport. Bhagavad Gita is not there. You don't have Bhagavad Gita? They can be given, no? Bhagavad Gita.
No, he is saying it's in the classroom here. It's good.
Get, no? Bhagavad Gita class, Bhagavad Gita should be there. Where it is there, told, what we are discussing, 2.8, right? So, anyway, coming next is, so in modern days also another thing which they are into, so they want to go to other planets. Going to moon, going to Mars. By mechanical means. So if you ask them why you want to go there, so we should have every time they do any launching of any rocket or send any space vehicle to any other place, so every time news reporters, they ask them, there are so many problems, so much money is being wasted in this. So there are so many problems in the society. So taxpayers are paying the tax and you are utilizing that money. So what is your answer to that, like that they say. So they say our country should have a dream. We should also have a dream, because we want to go to, dream of going to Mars, dream of going to moon. So like that they say. So these are idiot things. These are all childish, Prabhupada said. When Prabhupada landed in 1969 in London airport for the first time,
So reporter asked, what do you say about moon landing? Because that just that time only, you know, Americans had landed in the moon. Apparently landed in the moon. So Prabhupada asked them, should I say the truth or untruth? He asked. So tell the truth. Then Prabhupada told, it is childish waste of time. He said. Childish waste of time. Why childish waste of time? Like I give that example from Ramayana. Rama was crying, oh give me moon, moon, moon. Right? You all read, no, recently that one? So, didn't read? You didn't see? Huh? It's not there. Where it is? We don't know. Tulsi Ramayana or something like that. Maybe in Tulsi Ramayana. So, anyway, he asked and he was shown the mirror. So like that, children want to go to moon. But those who are intelligent here, they would not. So Arjuna is saying, what is the use of going? Prabhupada quotes, Kshine Punya Marte Lokam Vishanti. The problems of material existence, birth, old age, disease and death cannot be counteracted by accumulation of wealth and economic development. In many parts of the world, there are states which are replete with all facilities of life, which are full of wealth and economically developed, yet the problems of material existence are still present. They are seeking fees in different ways, but they can achieve real happiness only if they consult Krishna or Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which constitute the science of Krishna. Through the bona fide representative of Krishna, the man in Krishna consciousness. So, you all want to go to America? You can go for preaching there. You have to preach. If economic development and material comforts could drive away one's lamentation for family, social, national and international inabilities, then Arjuna would not have said that even an unrivaled kingdom on earth or supremacy like that of the demigods in heavenly planets would be unable to drive away his lamentations. So many of the Indian leaders, they are thinking, we will make India superpower economics by 2020. That APJ Abdul Kalam, he wrote a book. What is that? India 2020. And I think there is some other book also now. India Beyond 2020. Something. So, I was somewhere wandering in some bookshop and I saw that. So, they want to make India superpower by 2020. But what is the use? You will not be able to solve birth, death, old age and disease. What is the use? He sought therefore refuge in Krishna consciousness. And that is the right path of peace and harmony. Economic development or supremacy over the world can be finished at any moment of any movement by the catalysm of material nature. Even elevation into the higher planetary situation as men are now seeking on the moon planet can also be finished at one stroke. The Bhagavad Gita confirms this. Kshine Punya Marte Lokam Vishanti. When the results of highest activities are finished, one falls down again from the peak of happiness to the lowest status of life. Many politicians of the world have fallen down in that way. Such downfalls only constitute more causes of lamentation. So by reading Bhagavad Gita, by understanding Bhagavad Gita, we should come to the conclusion, or we should get the idea that everything human beings are doing in the world, so it is just very insignificant. That should be our conclusion. We should not become bewildered by all this so-called development, technological advancement. So by understanding Bhagavad Gita, we should come to know that. Right? What is this all advantage? Building big, big skyscraper buildings and big, big trains, aeroplanes, rockets, mobiles, communication system. What is this ultimately? Just very insignificant. So, but most of the people are bewildered. Especially in India, they are so much fond of science and technology. So, development, they say. Everywhere, all over the world. Therefore, if we want to curb lamentation for good, then we have to take shelter of Krishna, as Arjuna is seeking to do so. So, Arjuna asks Krishna to solve his problem definitely. And that is the way of Krishna consciousness. Sanjay, okay, just before we complete, there is one more section in the purport that is about qualifications of the spiritual master. Now we should surrender to spiritual master. What are the qualifications? So, kiva vipra kiva nyasi, shudra kene naya, yai krishna tatvaveti, sai guru hoya. So, it does not matter whether a person is a vipra, learned scholar in the Vedic wisdom, or is born in a lower family, or is in the renounced order of life. If he is a master in the science of Krishna, he is the perfect and bona fide spiritual master. So this verse was spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was speaking to Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai was born in Kayastha family. Those days there were two castes basically. One was Brahmana caste, another was Kayastha caste. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Brahmin family, and Ramananda Raya. So someone may argue why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is hearing Krishna Katha from Ramananda Raya. So Ramananda Raya, he said that, I am Shudra, low born, how can I instruct you? How can I answer your questions? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke this. So basically the point is that spiritual master does not require to be born in Brahmin family. So he is not necessary to be in India, from India. He can be from anywhere. So that is the point. So what is the qualification? He should know the science of Krishna. And the next verse is from Padma Purana. Shatkarmani puno vipro mantra tantra visharada avaishnavo guru nasyad vaishnava svapachata. A scholarly brahmana, expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava or expert in the science of Krishna consciousness. But a person born in family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava or Krishna conscious. So text 9. Sanjay uvacha eva mukva rashikesham gudakesha parantava nayotsya iti govinda mukva tushnim babuva. Having spoken thus, evam vuktva, Arjuna, chastiser of enemies, Parantapa, told vuktva Krishna, Govinda, I shall not fight, nayotsya iti Govinda, and fell silent, tushnim babuvaha. So he fell silent. Dhritarashtra must have been, so Prabhupada basically focuses on significance of Parantapa and Rishikesha. Dhritarashtra must have been very glad to understand that Arjuna was not going to fight and was instead leaving the battlefield for begging profession. But Sanjaya disappointed him again in relating that Arjuna was competent to kill his enemies, Parantapa. This is the significance of word Parantapa. Although Arjuna was for the time being overwhelmed with false grief due to family affection, he surrendered unto Krishna, the supreme spiritual master, as a disciple. This indicated that he would soon be free from the false lamentation resulting from family affection and would be enlightened with perfect knowledge of self-realization or Krishna consciousness and would then surely fight. Thus Dhritarashtra's joy would be frustrated since Arjuna would be enlightened by Krishna and would fight to the end. So this is significance of Rishikesha. He will guide Arjuna's senses. That is the meaning. Rashika means senses. Isha means master of the senses. Krishna is master of senses. So he will guide the senses of Arjuna to fight in this battle. So that was the indication given by Sanjaya. Now you see, that is what happened. After hearing Bhagavad Gita, if you read in Mahabharata, what happens? After hearing Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna fought. And he won the battle also for Yudhishthira Maharaj. So in this way, Sanjay is indicating that. So Arjuna is going to fight and he is competent to kill his enemies, Parantapa. So text 10.
तम उवाच ऋषिकेश महर्षि भारत सेन मध्ये ऋषिदंतम
ओ डिसेंडेंट ऑफ भरत एट दैट टाइम कृष्णा स्माइलिंग प्रहसन इन द मिड्स ऑफ बोथ द आर्मी सेन योर मध्ये स्पोक उवाच द फॉलोइंग वर्ड्स इदं वचः to the grief-stricken Visidhantam Arjuna. So why Krishna was smiling? Prahasan Niva Bharata. Prabhupada says, now friend has surrendered as disciple, so therefore Krishna is smiling. The talk was going on between two intimate friends, namely Rishikesha and Gudakesha. So, here the word Gudakesha comes in the previous verse. See there, in the previous verse Gudakesha word comes. The talk was going on between intimate friends. So Rishikesha word comes in this verse also and previous verse also. Talk was going on between intimate friends, namely Rishikesha and the Gudakesha. As friends, both of them on the same level, but one of them voluntarily became a student of the other. Krishna was smiling because a friend had chosen to become a disciple. So that is the significance of Rishikesha. And Tham Vuvacha, Rishikesha, Sena yor ubayor madde. Tham uvacha, Krishna spoke. Uvacha, Krishna spoke. Where he spoke? Sena yor ubayor madde. He spoke to lamenting Arjuna. So it appears that the talk between the master and the disciple was openly exchanged in the presence of both armies so that all were benefited. So the talks of Bhagavad Gita are not for any particular person, society or community, but they are for all, and friends or enemies are equally entitled to hear them. So we have discussed this. So it is meant for everyone, not for any particular class and all. So therefore Krishna spoke this. Now coming to the point, you see, how is that? Some of my notes is missing, but anyway, it is there in my mind. I'll speak. So, in first chapter, 21st and 22nd verse, Arjuna told Krishna, Sena yorubayor madhe ratham sthapayami achyuta yavadeta nirikshaham yodhu kamana vastitan khair maya saha yodavyam asmin rana samudyame. So you take my chariot between both the armies, he says. And in 25th verse, then Sanjaya describes Krishna. How Krishna took Arjuna's chariot in the midst of both the armies and he told, Behold, O Partha, here are the prominent fighters like Bhishma and Drona, like that he says. And so he was taken in the midst of both the armies. And now, in the midst of both the armies, Krishna is speaking these words. So what we learned is, Krishna wanted to speak this Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of everyone, therefore he took Krishna's Arjuna. So one reason we were discussing in the previous chapter that especially he wanted to take Arjuna's chariot in front of Bhishma and Drona so that by seeing them, due to the natural affection for grandfather and master, so he should become illusioned or bewildered by material affection. That was one reason which we discussed. Now we are discussing the second reason why Krishna made Arjuna to, inspired Arjuna to ask to take the chariot in the midst, and why Krishna took her. Because he wanted to give Bhagavad Gita knowledge to everyone. So Krishna gives knowledge to everyone. He is ever inviting. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his foreword to Brahma Samhita, he says, ever inviting transcendental autocrat, he says. He defines Krishna as ever inviting transcendental autocrat. So Krishna is always inviting us back home, back to Godhead. But we idiot guys, we don't want to go back to Godhead. We want to remain in the material world. We think that we have so many responsibilities in this material world. Therefore, in Bhagavatam it is told, Satyam dishatyartitam artito nunam naivartado yat punarartito nrupa Swayam vidatte vajatam anichyatam ichhapidanam nijapada pallavam. Krishna is so merciful that anicham, although we don't want, still he gives the nectar of his lotus feet. So in this world, most of them, no one is interested to go back home, back to God. So they think, oh, what about, if you ask them, so dedicate your life to Krishna, they will say, what about my sex life? Dedicate about your Krishna, what about my parents, my family, my nation, my community, my society? So they have so many reasons not to surrender to Krishna. Anyway, but Krishna is, from his side, he is ever inviting everyone in this world. So therefore he gives, but not necessary that everyone takes advantage of Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, here not everyone got the same results. Not everyone got the same result of hearing Bhagavad Gita. So we discussed that in results. Giridhara Gopinath Prabhu was explaining. Not everyone will get the same result of doing devotional service. Similarly, not everyone will get the same result of hearing Bhagavad Gita. It depends on our attitude. So with what attitude we want to hear Bhagavad Gita. So in this way we see here that although everyone heard, but they didn't. From this one more thing we can understand. Generally, Vedic scriptures are meant for different scriptures are meant for different brahmanas, different, dvijas study. So, but Bhagavad Gita is meant for everyone, it appears. So, from this verse. Because in Kali Yuga, everyone is a Shudra, what we can expect from them. So, therefore, this knowledge is given to everyone. And coming to Prabhupada quotes. So, Arjuna was so serious and Krishna was smiling. Just see the fool, what is he doing? Krishna is saying like that. Therefore, there was necessity of instructing Bhagavad Gita. The fool has to be instructed. Yes, this is, he was smiling. This is childish. He was very serious. Oh, just like sometimes a child is very serious and the father is smiling. Yes. So our children are not serious only, they are always smiling. So now Bhagavad Gita will be spoken. He has accepted Krishna as the spiritual master. Now he will teach. Just like the politicians, they are sometimes perplexed in political situation and claiming, this is my land, my country. And other party also is claiming, it is my land, my country. And they are fighting very gravely. Krishna smiles. What these nonsense are claiming? Are claiming my country, my land. It is my land, Krishna says. And they are claiming it is my land, it is my country, forgetting how long he shall belong to this country or this nation. That is called illusion. How long will we belong to this country? So India is fighting Pakistan, Pakistan is fighting India. Next time this guy who is fighting for India, he will be born in Pakistan, and that guy who is fighting for Pakistan, he will be born in India. Then they will fight for India and Pakistan. Opposite way. This goes on material society. So now, Prabhupada here he mentions, now he will teach. There is some portion of the purport I didn't read, which I will be reading in the next verse purport. So, yeah. So before we go for the next verse, just to summarize all these things, whatever happened now, till now in Bhagavad Gita, and what Krishna will do now, what instructions he will give. So Bhishma Deva in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in his prayers, he summarized all these things, whatever happened now, in one verse. And he told what Krishna did after this. So I will read the verse. So this is 1.9.36. Vyavahita pratana mukham niriksha svajana vadana vadhar vimukasya dosha bhudya kumati maharad atma vidyaya yash sharanarati paramasya tasya mestu. When Arjuna was seemingly polluted by ignorance, dosha bhudya, upon observing the soldiers and commanders before him on the battlefield, Svajana Vadanad Vimukasya Dosha Vidya Vyavahita Pratana Mukam Niraksha. So the Lord eradicated his ignorance by delivering transcendental knowledge. So that is Atma Vidya. He says, Kumatim Aharad Atma Vidya. Kumatim Aharad means he eradicated his ignorance. Kumatim word is used. Atma Vidya. So, transcendental knowledge. May his lotus feet always remain the object of my attraction. Charana rati paramasya tasya mestu. Like that he says. So, you see, he is summarizing the whole thing. Arjuna saw all his relatives arrayed in the battlefield, and his intelligence seemingly became polluted. Why? Because why this word, seemingly word, is used here? Because ultimately Arjuna is not in ignorance. So he is put in ignorance by Krishna. So I'll read the purport. The kings and the commanders were to stand in front of the fighting soldiers. That was the system of actual fighting. The kings and commanders were not so-called presidents or ministers of defense as they are today. They would not stay home while the poor soldiers or mercenaries were fighting face to face. See how Shudras are ruling the country. Defense minister they are becoming. This may be the regulation of modern democracy. But when actual monarchy was prevailing, the monarchs were not cowards elected without consideration of qualification. So how this system is made, you see. So this whole democracy, taking vote and becoming presidents, prime ministers, and without any qualification. So anyone can purchase votes and become president. So in this way, this going on. As it was evident from battlefield of Kurukshetra, all the executive heads of both parties, like Drona, Bhishma, Arjuna and Duryodhana, were not sleeping. All of them were actual participants in the fighting, which was selected to be executed at a place away from civil residential quarters. This means the innocent citizens were immune from all effects of fighting between the rival royal parties. The citizens had no business in seeing what was going to happen during such fighting. They were to pay 1/4 of their income to the ruler, whether he be Arjuna or Duryodhana. All the commanders of the parties on battlefield of Kurukshetra were standing face to face. So Prabhupada is giving some hint how to organize management of the country. So Prabhupada in one place he mentions, now world is in chaos. Krishna consciousness movement can introduce proper management system in the society. It is meant for that, like that he says. So they were to pay 1/4 of their income to the ruler, whether he be Arjuna or Duryodhana. All the commanders of the parties on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were standing face to face, and Arjuna saw them with great compassion and lamented that he was to kill his kinsmen on the battlefield for the sake of the empire. He was not at all afraid of the giant military phalanx presented by Duryodhana, but as a merciful devotee of the Lord, renunciation of worldly things was natural for him, and thus he decided not to fight for worldly possession. But this was due to poor fund of knowledge, and therefore it is said here that his intelligence became polluted. His intelligence could not be polluted at any time because he was a devotee and constant companion of the Lord, as is clear in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Apparently, Arjuna's intelligence became polluted because otherwise there would not have been chance to deliver the teachings of Bhagavad Gita for the good of all polluted, conditioned soul to the engaged in material bondage by the conception of false material body. So in the introduction also it is mentioned, this is not meant for Arjuna, it is meant for all the conditioned souls like that. The Bhagavad Gita was delivered to the conditioned souls of the world to deliver them from the wrong conception of identifying the body with the soul and to re-establish souls' eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. We were discussing purpose of Bhagavad Gita, you see. Two purposes. Atma Vidya, or transcendental knowledge of himself, was primarily spoken by the Lord for the benefit of all concerned in all parts of the universe. So now he will start speaking Atma Vidya. Therefore this verse is quoted here. So from verse number 11 to 30th. Okay. And so basically qualities of the soul are described. Some of the qualities are repeated in this. You can identify them and make a list of these qualities. And another major point in this section is, so shochitum, that word to lament, it comes again and again in this. So basically yachokam uchoshanam indriyanam nahi prapashyami mamapunadyad yachokam uchoshanam indriyanam avapya bhuma vasapatna vriddham rajyam suranam adipatyam. So their shoka, lamentation, is coming, and Krishna, Arjuna, is going on lamenting. So he is crying from first chapter 27th verse onwards. He is crying. So just to console him, so or bring him out of that lamentation, so he is speaking this verse. Sometime our Gurukulis, they cry, right? Or they will make others to cry. Right? So what you all do? You all cry yourself, or you will make others to cry? So then we have to pacify them. Arjuna is also being pacified here by giving this transcendental knowledge. So mostly lamentation is a sign of symbol of Shudras. We saw that in the first verse. Those who are Aryans, they will not lament. And Kanishta Adhikaris, or whose consciousness is affected by lower modes, especially mode of ignorance, such people, they cry. So to deliver them from such ignorance, we have to speak this knowledge, Atma Vidya, transcendental knowledge of self-realization. So this knowledge is ABCD. Bhagavad Gita itself is ABCD, and this is ABCD again of Bhagavad Gita. Sometime Prabhupada called it as first step in self-realization, understanding that we are not these bodies. Or ABCD of spiritual life, he called it as. Okay, text number 11. Ashochananda Sochasva Gatasunna Gatasuncha Nanu Pochanti Pandita. The Supreme Personality of God had said while speaking, Sri Bhagavan Vach, second time it comes here. While speaking, Bhashase, learned words, Prajnyavadaha. You, Tvam, are mourning Anvashocha. So for what not worthy of grief, Ashochan? Those who are wise, Panditaha, lament Anushochanti, neither for the living Agatasun, nor for the dead, Gatasun. So, So they do not lament for neither living nor dead. So it is a common thing if someone has died to lament. So, but we lament for even those who are living also. So we have discussed that sufficiently. What about my wife? What about my child? What about me? Right or not? So we encourage grahastha ashram, but eventually grahasthas also are supposed to take vanaprastha. That time they will be tested how much their understanding of knowledge of self-realization. So, like that. By speaking like that, I am not discouraging grahastha ashram. You can get married. The point is, later one day or the other day, you have to become detached from everything of this world, right, ultimately. So, we lament not only for the dead, we lament for those who are living also. So, therefore, here Krishna is telling those who are wise, they do not lament. You see Krishna in a gentlemanly way, he is rebuking Arjuna. You are talking like a learned people, but learned people do not speak like this. While speaking learned words, prajñāvādam śabāsase. So prajñāvāda means learned. See, learned here means we have to understand. He is not, Prabhupada is not speaking in terms of, or Krishna is not speaking in terms of materialistic learning here. Prajna means those who are prajna. Prajna means those who are learned. Especially in material sense, they are, you know, cognitive, they call, there is a English term, no? Cognitive. So, what do you say? Some thinkers, think tank we call it as, right or not? They talk all big things. Analyze the sociology, social problems, issues. So they are called as prajna in Sanskrit. They are expert in speculation. They are, you know, they use, they speculate their mind, use their, exercise their mind like anything. So another term is muni also, prajna. Here learned means they are not prajna. So prajñāvāda is opposite term of prajna. Prajñāvāda means those who are opposed to prajna. That means they are learned in the sense that not they are mental speculators, but they have taken knowledge from authorities. So they have prajñāvāda. So Arjuna, Krishna is what is, how he is rebuking? You are speaking like a prajñāvāda, but you are a fool, like that. Krishna is rebuking here. So, because those who are pandita, learned, they do not lament for, neither for dead nor for living. So, here we come to the point. So, here we come to the point. That Arjuna was, I was mentioning, lamenting. We see in 1.28, he was crying. There is mentioned there. Prabhupada says, we can imagine that tears were flowing from his eyes. He was crying. His eyes were full of tears. And 2.1, he says that he was crying. So now Arjuna, he is giving this, Krishna is giving this knowledge. So, Prabhupada, he says that in the previous verse, Prabhupada purport, he says, as Lord of all, he is always in superior position as the master of everything, everyone. And yet the Lord agrees to be a friend, a son, or a lover, or a devotee who wants him in such a role. But when he was accepted as the master, he at once assumed the role and talked with the disciple like the master with gravity, as it is required. So like that, Krishna is, Prabhupada is telling about Krishna's taking the position of spiritual master in the previous verse. So here in this verse we have seen that, that he took the position and he is rebuking his disciple Arjuna. So basically spiritual master should find the mistake of Arjuna, disciple. He should correct him. So Krishna is correcting Arjuna here like that. So Prabhupada says here also, in this purport also, the Lord at once took the position of teacher and chastised the student, calling him indirectly a fool. The Lord said, "You are talking like a learned man, but you do not know that one who is learned, one who knows what is body and what is soul, does not lament for any stage of the body, neither in the living nor in the dead condition." So, so what is living and what is non-living? So how we identify? In science you will read a definition of living beings and non-living beings. Right. So what is the definition? You read that? You all heard that, huh? Damodar is saying, what is the definition? How you define living and non-living beings? Those who move, grow. Aeroplane also moves, no? Train also moves, no? They reproduce. Machines also reproduce. They make different machines. Not on their own. You need someone behind them.
Without life is dead,
without life is. Then what is life? What is the definition of life? So, Masai Pet is near Gava. You know what is that? Kumaragodam. If you don't know where is Kumaragodam, how you will find Masai Pet, right? So you are saying with life is living and without life is, what is life then? They cannot answer. Why they cannot answer?
They can just juggle the words. They don't understand what is living.
Why they cannot understand or why they cannot define?
Beyond the scope of situation, subtle soul, they cannot understand the soul. Say, based on chemical reactions, still the time reactions are going on, that is, life is there, and when reactions will stop, that is life.
Actually, we don't have to know on the knowledge of self to define what is life and what is not. Most of the people are idiots, so they don't have some common sense also, and they are passing out as big scientists.
PhD
student,
and you are arguing, what is different between what is dead body and living body. Waste body is called dead body. Useful body is called living.
So I am using this table, it is waste, right? This table is waste, it is useful, then it is living? Such idiot things, they talk nonsense. Everyone talks nonsense and they are given Nobel Prize. And we idiots just follow them without asking questions. And they promote science as though that, science is, everything is logical, everything is reasonable, it is rational. We don't believe in anything without any critical thinking, like that they say. So all these dogmas they are teaching in the science. So generally we are given that camera example. So camera is recording the drama, what is happening. And the panel of judge also is watching very intently, because they have to give decision which drama is good, who played the best role. So both are seeing. We have our eyes, camera has its lens. And we have our memory which records the what is happening in, and camera also has its memory card. So both are watching. Now apparently if you see, camera can record all the minute details than human beings. So, and it can retain its memory, but we may not be able to retain it. So still one major difference is there between camera and, so human beings can are superior to camera in one sense in this regard. So how is that?
Emotion.
Judgment.
Emotions.
They can experience actually. They can experience the emotions. So if some scene is coming where a hero is running around, heroine, this fellow who is looking at them, he becomes excited as though he is running around heroine. So, or if heroine, heroine is captured by, kidnapped by, villain, then this fellow becomes morose. Oh, what happened, like that. So starts lamenting. Lord Rama was also lamenting when Sita was kidnapped by Ravana. He was wandering from one forest to another forest, lamenting, Sita, 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 where are you, where are you? Like, so in this way, these fellows, they lament. Anyway, both hero or lamb. Cinema means both hero or villain, both do the same thing, right or not? That villain is trying to rape her, and after relieving her from villain, he does the same thing. Enjoy the same body, that's all I know. Nothing else. Nothing else is there, right? Or in the material world, that's all it is. So, okay, coming back to the point that so we can experience emotions, but that machine camera cannot experience. So we are aware about what is happening in the drama, but camera is not aware. This is a fundamental definition of living and non-living. Just awareness. What is life and what is death? What is living and what is non-living? It's just a matter of awareness. This awareness itself is called consciousness. Literal meaning of consciousness. We are talking only on logical level. We are not talking anything scripture, soul, anything. So, and dictionary meaning, if you see, consciousness means awareness, to be aware. That sense of awareness, sense of existence. And this is itself is a proof for the existence of soul. We exist. We feel that sense of existence is there. It's logical. So, coming to the point that, so this is life. Now you see, take a dead body in mortuary house, they cut the dead body. When the same person, when he was alive, so he would respond even to small pinch, smallest stimuli it is called in scientific language. He would respond to smallest stimuli. But the same body is cut now into pieces, but there is no awareness. Why? Because that conscious living being has left the body. So, we can prove that. Dehi nasmin yata dehe, we will discuss that. So, from that verse we can separate existence from the body and eternal existence. Both are explained in that. So when body is destroyed, it is not destroyed. So it is existing. So we'll come to that point. Anyway, this is living and non-living. So those who have the knowledge of this, they will not lament. Neither they will lament for living, nor they will lament for the dead. Because soul has left the body. and it will take some other body. So why one should lament? So now we come to a point that here, so people are crying, like when someone dies, people cry, right? They cry loudly, right? So who is that person who is that loud one for whom they are crying, they are lamenting? Aggrievement party, it is called as aggrievement party. So why they are lamenting, for whom they are lamenting? Who is that actual person? So Prabhupada, he analyzes, the actual person for whom you are lamenting is not this body which is lying down, but that Atma, spirit, soul, jiva, who has left the body. So that is the point. So he is our real loved one. He is our real husband, real wife, real mother, real father, real son, real daughter, real grandfather or grandmother, who has left the body. He is our real object of love. Now if you extend this point a little further, what is that jivatma, who is actual object of love? So what is that jivatma? It is part and parcel of Krishna. So ultimately, our real object of love is Krishna. So because Krishna is very dear to us, therefore we are lamenting for the part and parcel of Krishna. That is our real object of love. So this is the point here. So therefore those who are learned, they do not lament for those who are living and non-living. Now another point in the middle of the purport here, Prabhupada is speaking. He is connecting it to 1.36. In 1.36 we were seeing that according to Yajnavalkya Samhita and Manusmriti, so it is told that those who are six kinds of aggressors, they can be killed. There is no sin incurred by killing such six kinds of aggressors. So then Arjuna, like here you see, in the 8th verse also, we saw that Arjuna was speaking on the proper here. He says that he says, no, that academic knowledge. Arjuna, although was putting forward so many arguments based on knowledge of the principles of religion and moral codes. So based on Dharma Shastra, Arjuna was arguing that no, this cannot be. They are pujarva, and these are special kinds of aggressors. So they cannot be killed, he says. But Prabhupada, he says that Arjuna did not know that even superior to religious principles is Atma Vidya, knowledge of self. So based on the knowledge of self, Arjuna does not have to lament for relatives who have assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. As explained in later chapters, it will be clear that the knowledge means to know matter and spirit and the controller of both. Later chapters means where it is? Where it is told? Knowledge of spirit. 13th chapter? What is it told? So Arjuna asked six things in the beginning of the, what is Kshetra, what is Kshetrajna, what is Jnana, what is Jnaya, what is Prakriti and what is Purusha. So Krishna, he defined what is knowledge, what is Kshetra. Idam shariram kaunteya kshetram ityabhidiyate etadyo vyatitam prahu kshetrajna iti tadvidaha kshetrajnam chapi ma vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetra kshetrajna yor jnanam yatadjnanam matam mama. This is knowledge. According to my opinion, this is knowledge. What is that? This body is kshetra and the soul is knower of the body. He is conscious being, he is. We were discussing, no, conscious living being. So he is conscious of this body, right? We are aware of the body. If we are a body ourselves, then the body would have become conscious being. But we are aware of the body. That shows we are separate from the body. Just like we are aware about the environment, the heat, cold, etc. So in this way, consciousness helps us to understand the existence of soul. Yeah, coming back to, he is Kshetrajna, and know that I am the knower of all the bodies. That means he is controller, proprietor of all the bodies. So Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata, matter, spirit and controller of both. Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics or sociology. But he did not know that knowledge of matter or soul and supreme is even more important than religious formularies. So nowadays in the society, no one is bothered about religious subject matters, no one is bothered about spiritual subject matters, they are only busy in sociology and politics. So, but here we get the hierarchy of which is importance. But he did not know that the knowledge of matter, soul and the supreme is even more important than the religious formularies. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he should not have posed himself as very learned, as he did not happen to be a very learned man. He was consequently lamenting for something which was unworthy of lamentation. The body is born and destined to be vanquished today or tomorrow. Therefore, body is not as important as soul. One who knows this is actually learned, and for him there is no cause of lamentation regardless of the condition of the material body. So, in this way, explains this verse, and we have some quotes from the lecture. So, this is the Bhagavad Gita lecture 2.8-12, Los Angeles, 1968. Similarly, Krishna, just after taking the position of the spiritual master, is designating Arjuna as a grand fool. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said that my spiritual master found me a great fool. So, was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a fool? And can it be possible that anyone can become a spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Both things are impossible. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even not accepting him as incarnation of Krishna, if he simply accept him as ordinary scholar or man, there was no comparison of his scholarship. But he said that my spiritual master found me a great fool. What is that meaning? That a person, even in my position, always remains a fool before his spiritual master. That is good for him. Nobody should impose that, what do you know? I know better than you. So we should not think like that with a spiritual master. So then we will not be able to surrender and solve our problems of life. A spiritual master has the right to chastise. Fathers and spiritual master are advised to chatter. Putram chashishyam cha thadayet na to lalayet. So one should not pamper this, you know, disciples. They should be thadayet, beaten nicely, chastised. So spiritual master and father have both right, according to Chanakya Pandita, to chastise the students. These boys must be wondering why anything chastisement comes, it comes to us only. So even elders also, they should bear the chastisement of spiritual master. If you, Chanakya Pandita, that you should always chastise your son and your disciple. Find out their mistakes. Never recognize the disciple's business or son's business as very good. Even if you do nicely everything, still you have to find fault in them. That is the spiritual master position. So disciple may build a big temple, still this, you know, spiritual master should find fault in that. Otherwise disciple will sit on the head of spiritual master. never recognize the disciples' business or son's business as very good, or they will be complacent. If you simply pat, they will develop many faults, but if you chastise them, they will be very much qualified. So as far as we are concerned, when our spiritual master used to chastise us, we took it as a blessing. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he would chastise vigorously. Damned rascal, foolish, stupid. Anything, all good words. One day it so happened, and was not my fault. Another old god brother was, Prabhupada was speaking. Prabhupada here means Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And I was enjoying listening. That gentleman, a retired doctor, wanted to say something. He should not have done so. And Prabhupada saw it and became so angry. So he knew that my attention was drawn by him. He chastised him like anything. He was old man, actually almost this his age. He was paying 60 rupees in those days per month. So he became so angry. Do you think that because you pay 60 rupees, you have purchased us? You can do anything and anything. So sometimes disciples may try to control the spiritual master by giving donation. But then if he is controlled by disciples' money, then he cannot act as a spiritual master. He spoke like that, using very strong language. Do you think that I am speaking to others? Do you know everything? You are diverting your attention. So in many ways, he was very, very angry. So this is nice to chastise. Therefore, as soon as Krishna was accepted as Guru, immediately he chastised his disciple. Like Srila Prabhupada also, he used to chastise Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Those who were dedicated, he used to chastise them. Others, he would not chastise so much. So he was little merciful than his Guru Maharaj. So, because he was preaching in Western countries, all emotional, sentimental people, no philosophical understanding. So you see there, most of them, they talk only about that, oh, Prabhupada loved so much like that and all like that. All of them. And his heavy chastisement he used to get. So people like Tamal Krishna Maharaj and all. Okay, so we'll stop here. We have some service today, extra service. Afternoon cooking. We'll continue in the afternoon. So 3 o'clock, at 3 o'clock. Maybe possible before that also if cooking gets over. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
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 Krishna Hare,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama,
Rama, Hare Hare. So it's going a bit slow because these chapters are very important. You see long purports are there here. So elaborate purports are there here, right? So we'll push it eventually. We'll take extra time and push. We'll not compromise in the quality. Any questions? Any comments?
This 11 to 38 section is from second chapter 11 to 38, right? But we are saying this is Sankhya Yoga, analytical study of the difference in body and soul. But then normally it is been said that the first 6 chapters are talks about Karma Yoga and then Bhakti Yoga and then Jnana Yoga. Is it this Sankhya Yoga is part of the Karma Yoga?
No. Sankhya means Jnana Yoga, it is knowledge. So in the second chapter, basically Krishna prologue, Prabhupada says, no? Second chapter is a prologue to the all the topics which Krishna is going to speak. So 6 chapters, they talk about Karma Yoga in the sense that major topic is Karma Yoga. Like you see, in the third chapter is Karma Yoga. Fourth chapter also, it talks about different kinds of sacrifices which culminates into transcendental knowledge. All the title of the fourth chapter is transcendental knowledge. So, but most part of that is spoken about karma actually, right or not? See, in the beginning a little bit he speaks about transcendental knowledge, about his appearance, Krishna. Then he starts about karma, worship of demigods, chaturvarnya maya srishtam, different kinds of karma, no? Karma, karma, vikarma, then different kinds of sacrifices. All these are all karma only, right? And this culminates into transcendental knowledge. Yeah, in the end he concludes. Therefore the title is, conclusion is, but basically it is karma. Then with that transcendental knowledge in the fifth word, by performing karma yoga, how one attains renunciation, that is described in the fifth chapter. So that is fifth chapter. Fifth chapter is also again karma yoga, it is how we attain renunciation. In the fourth chapter, how we attain knowledge by performing karma yoga. And fifth chapter, how we attain renunciation by following karma. You see, because in the middle there, you see in the fifth chapter, Iyahasya, Jito Sarga, Sparsha Sukha, and all that has come, and Yahi Sansparshaja Boga Dukkha Yone Yevate, and all that, those verses, renunciation basically from material enjoyment is described by following. So major topic is karma yoga it is. So but titles are given different because of how karma yoga is explained in relation with transcendental knowledge and renunciation. So fifth chapter is karma sannyas it is. So because he attains renunciation by performing prescribed duties. So therefore it is karma yoga. And later is jnana yoga, later six chapters. Why? Because there is knowledge about three modes of material nature, knowledge about, jnana we were discussing, knowledge of the body, kshetra, kshetrajna, jnana, jnaya. So all knowledge is given there.
So first chapter is introduction, second chapter we should understand it as a summary.
Yeah, contents of the Gita summarized. But there also Buddhi Yoga, Karma Yoga is discussed more. Karma Yoga is discussed more, even in second chapter also, if you see. Buddhi Yoga is Karma Yoga. See, 39 to 53, and even 31 to 33 also, 38 also. So major portion of the second chapter also is Karma Yoga. Then? Give me some glass of water. Okay. Third class servant. Of course, he is not obliged to serve me, but yeah. So, yeah, tell. One reason I wanted to push on a little, but I didn't. I was feeling thirsty, I could not. Yeah.
Sanatana Dharma is the eternal constitutional occupation of a living entity. So, Sanatana Dharma is equated to, or it is Varnashram Dharma. So, Sanatana Dharma is equated to Varnashram Dharma.
Yeah, so, Prabhupada uses it as substitute.
So, yes. So, in the spiritual world, there is Varnashram Dharma.
That's point of research. We can see that in Krishna Leela, everything is happening according to principles of Varnashram, right or not? So, there is Grahastha Ashrama, there is Vanaprastha Ashrama. So, and Vaishya, Brahmana, Kshatriya is there. Like in Krishna Leela also, we see that. Madhumangala is a Brahmana, he says, he blesses Krishna. I'll bless you to, if you give me Laddu, I'll bless you to meet Srimati Radharani, he says. So, like that, Brahmana is there. And we see Vrajendra, although he is Vaishya by occupation, but he is king among Vaishyas. Nanda Maharaj is king among Vaishyas, he is, right or not? So, then others are taking calls, and there are servants also, Shudras. That is spiritual order. When spiritual order, rasa is a spiritual status, then these spiritual orders are not required, right or not? You got that, yeah? So, but social order is there. That is also told, but it will be there. Right, in Satyuga all kings were there, right? There are many descriptions. Prahlad Maharaj was there, so many kings were there. It is, you have to understand, if Varnashrama is not there, all are Hamsa means how it is like that. There is a subtle meaning behind that. So basically predominant is mode of goodness that time. So it is not that why then there are kings there that time? Society is organized according to Varnashrama that time also.
King used to do the practical activity.
Yeah, that is the point. So externally, there is system is there, social order is there. So, but the almost everyone is very spiritually advanced. So that is the point. It's clear?
No.
And in spiritual world, it is not. Generally, in Varnashrama is used for regulating our material nature and ultimately bringing us to spiritual platform. But in spiritual world, it helps in rasas, in pastimes of Krishna. Right? That's the point. Anything else?
Just for your making when rasa is there, what is the use of
Ashramas. Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas and all those things.
Then, again you made a point that Varnashrama helps to in spiritual world.
Yeah, means basically social orders. Social orders. Because Leela is connected to society, you know, social relationships. Interaction with the society, right or not? Activities are in relation with interaction with the society, right? So therefore, varnas are existing there. And we don't see ashrama, because ashrams are spiritual order. You have attained the culmination of spiritual order, that is rasa. Then why you need to do all these things? Rasa dominates, but the foundation basis is there. Basis of social interaction is there, but the dominant is rasa. So same thing here, when it reflects. So that basic foundation of social system has to be very dominant here. And in one sense, here also, mundane rasa is very dominant here, right or not? So same exact replica it is. It is told, Varnashrama society is the exact replica of the Goloka Vrindavan. Yes. So that's why it is interlinked, very much interlinked. It's just perverted reflection. No? Varnashrama society is a reflection of spiritual world. It is, that's all. Varnashrama society is just reflection of spiritual world. So you can analyze and make, you know, all these things, you know, dasya and all this link, you know, elaborately if you want detailed analysis.
Today also we see that Varnashrama is not there, but still it is there, like CEO of the office and somewhere
else. That you cannot extinguish. The point is, now it is divine and demonic. You see, the point is, the quality comes there. Now it is on demonic platform. So we want to bring it to divine platform. That is Daiva Varnashrama. Right? You cannot abolish Krishna's system. Krishna's system is eternal. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagastasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam. It is eternal system.
So when there is awareness in the living being, it is called living. no awareness than dead. But in coma condition, we see that the entity is unconscious.
That is the different states of consciousness. Sushupti, Jagrata and Swapna. There are three states of consciousness. So that is basically Swapna state or Sushupti state. Swapna or Sushupti state it is. Are in between like that. So basically it is attachment of the jiva to the body. So it is not ready to get out of the body. It is struggling to stay back in the body. That is Swapna state.
Is there any case, such coma cases probably in Vedic history? And if it is there, then what should be done at that
time? What should be done at that time? You have to chant Hare Krishna. What else you have to do?
Lord Rama went in coma.
Yeah, it's basically different states of consciousness. Sushupti state. Okay, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.